At Betway Casino, new customers stake £10 and get 150 free spins. Download the Betway Casino app today. 18 plus, T's and C's apply. BeGambleAware.org.
Making stress your bitch. You heard it. That's exactly what I just said. What if stress can become your greatest strength instead of your greatest hurdle? Michelle Dawson Johal is here to talk about her story and to provide you with tips on how to make stress your bitch. So Michelle, it's so good to see you. When people hear the word stress, they often think of breakdown, burnout, or failure. Before we get into the tools, take us back. What does stress look like in your life before you realized it could become part of your power?
Well, to understand the gravity of stress that I've dealt with in my life, you really have to hear the story. So I'm going to take you actually to a beach in Maui. And I'm sitting there with my, at the time, 9-year-old daughter, and we're overlooking the ocean. And I have this conversation that I have to have with her. And she's wearing her red swimsuit with a black and white stripe. And I look at her and I say, "So, sweetie, you know how autism is a really big spectrum. And so there are people like your brother who are, you know, functioning in the middle of the spectrum, and they might, you know, he's able to talk a little bit. And then there are some kids who are lower functioning who might not be able to talk at all. While there's also people who are higher functioning and might even have gifts like Albert Einstein. So, you know how we went to the doctor recently? Well, the doctor says that you have high functioning autism. And to this day, I'll never forget her response. She says, "Oh, I guess I have the good kind then." So, yeah. She was always so optimistic. But there were so many hard times. By 11, she was being diagnosed with a really rare health disorder, which affects 1 in 2,500 girls. By 15, she was having full-on open-heart surgery. At 11, my son, who was already diagnosed with autism, was being diagnosed with a serious mood disorder. And at 17, my daughter was having multiple blood transfusions and was hospitalized. So there were just so many dark, dark nights of the soul. And I would get myself out of it by just thinking of one thing. And that was the love that I had for my children. And this love, it would pull me out of the darkness again and again, you know, and somehow I'd manage to find my joy again and manage to find my smile again. But then came, it was December 23rd, 2023. And suddenly it's like my daughter woke up a completely different person. So I have to just preface this a little bit. She's usually this really gentle, compassionate soul. And she woke up and she was angry. She would be throwing objects one moment, and the next moment she's laughing maniacally. And she's got her cereal bowl, and instead of eating the cereal, she starts to take a bite out of the bowl. So I knew something was seriously wrong. I took her to the hospital, and the neurologist thought that she had a brain infection and delirium. But then she became suicidal and medications weren't working. And so this would go on for like close to a year. There was a time where I got really even angry. I was so angry with God And it was probably like the third time we were back to the emergency room. And I remember having this conversation with God, like, how could you do this? How could you do this to this kind, sweet kid who's been through so much already? How could you do this to Sovin? And I remember hearing a response. And the response was, but I gave her the best mom. And that moment actually changed everything for me because I was able to get back into my power as a mother. And I was by her side day and night until we finally got her to a good place. And so now today, I'm able to help others who are extremely stressed out, who are overwhelmed, to step into their power and make stress their bitch.
Before, thank you for sharing all that. And I can't imagine that was easy at all. It must have been terrifying and just an overwhelming feeling of helplessness. Can you describe a moment where the weight of that felt like unbearable? And then what shifted inside of you? And when stress felt like it was breaking you, did it feel like it was breaking you before it started building you? Can you tell us about that process and what it was like to have that mindset shift?
Well, I could tell you in one moment in particular that kind of stands out in my mind, and it was when we went back that third time to the emergency room, and that time that I had that conversation with God, and she was at this point suicidal, and she would try to, they would have her in restraints, and she would somehow aggressively break out of the restraints and pull out her IV, and she'd be trying to make a run for it. So it was the worst moment. It was the worst hour. And her, she has ulcerative colitis as well, and that was also acting up. I didn't know if I was gonna lose my child, and so they had to put her in this room, and it looked like a prison cell. It couldn't get any worse than this because she was. She had become suicidal. So it was gray concrete walls, a steel to a toilet that was steel toilet, and then this blue mattress on the ground for her to sleep on. And so she was sleeping there, and I just sat next to her, and I had another moment with God where I just kind of gave it back to God, or the universe, whatever, you relate to. I say God. And I had this con another conversation. Okay, well, I guess this is what you've given us. And I guess I'm just gonna have to deal with it. And I surrendered it back. I accepted what was, and I sat there and I meditated, and I kind of blocked this out of my mind for so long. It came back to me months later. But I had a moment of peace. And that peace, I believe, came in the surrender, right? When you let it go when you let it go, then something greater than yourself can come in and support you. So that's one of the strategies, that I teach, is accepting and surrendering to that which we cannot change. That's that which is already here anyway. And there's a peace in that on the other side.
What do you think most people misunderstand about resilience, especially when it's constant ongoing challenges rather than one single crisis?
I'm not really sure what people would misunderstand, but what I've come to understand about resilience is that resilience is a strength of the mind, right? And unfortunately, my children have battled mental health and mental illness on top of many other things. And that's a different boat, right? That's an illness of the mind. They didn't ask for it. That's what they have to deal with. But because I'm fortunate enough not to have an illness of my mind, I am able to use strategies and build the strength of the mind. And that's what resilience is to me, is a strength of mind.
Yeah, I like that. But what about this? When did you start to begin to see stress as information, even a teacher?
Yeah, I don't know if there was like any pivotal moment where it just kind of came to me, but people would ask me all the time, like, how are you still standing with all that you go through and continue to go through? And, we're still going through it. My son was just in the hospital in August for a kidney injury. So then they had to take him off his medications, which we know is not a good thing for mental health. And so now we are waiting. I'm here in Canada, in Vancouver, and we've been waiting for Children's Hospital to open up a space. But I forget the question, the original question.
No, I asked you about seeing stress as information, even a teacher.
So people would constantly ask me, how are you still standing? And so I started reflecting on it, and I started, thinking about what it was that I was doing that kept me standing. And it wasn't just one thing. It was a multitude of things. It was a whole bunch of different strategies. I'm a big nerd, and I've been a teacher of 25 years. I love learning. And one of my passions is learning about mental health and the things for and positive psychology and the things that are going to make us uplift us and make us feel better. And those were some of the things I was using. I also had the privilege of teaching social and emotional learning for the Surrey School District for a year. And I was also pulling from that. So I was pulling from so many different resources, and then I came up with a program, and I came up with a framework where I put it together in order to. So the framework is FAST in order to feel better fast and make stress rich. So yeah, it's not one thing that I think makes someone resilient and strong. It's a multitude of things.
Yeah. So when you were in survival mode, what was the internal narratives like? And how did you begin to shift that? Because I know for me, I used to live in a state of high anxiety, fight or flight, and my mind was just yabbering to me all the time, all this bullshit that was not true. And then I started shifting my inner dialogue, and now it's all like positive, loving things that come into my mind. But how do you even begin to do that? Especially if you're going through so much stuff and you're in survival mode, there's so much stress. Like, how is that possible?
I think that it's one step at a time, but when you're in survival mode, you give yourself a whole lot of grace, right? You're not going to be able to do all of these strategies that are in my program when you're just trying to survive. And that's okay. It's about just putting one foot in front of the other, giving yourself grace, giving yourself a whole lot of kindness. And I kind of think of it like when we are in survival mode, it's like you're in a boat and the boat has leaks in it. So you can't really go anywhere. All you want to do is try to stay afloat. And one of the things that I would do to just stay afloat is find an anchor. And for me, the anchor would is the love that I have for my kids. And I would just focus on that. Because when I thought about how much I love them, then I couldn't afford to do anything to hurt myself. Right? But they needed their mother. But there were dark times. So there are times when you really, really have to find that anchor. For me, it was love. It could be hope for the future. It could be faith in something greater. But an anchor is necessary in that moment. And that is not the time to be doing all the other things now. That time will come, and those things will help you to also stay afloat when the crisis comes, because you've built a foundation of sorts. But during the crisis, you just want to find an anchor.
Yeah, I think that's important to note because there's so much pressure put on us in this crazy world to be everything all the time. And when we're not productive, it's like something's not right. And I think you're right. If you're like going through something high stress, finding that anchor and letting the rest go, like that self-compassion part that you were talking about earlier, I think that is so important. Just meet yourself where you are at without expectation and just, I don't know, learn to stay emotionally present. How did you stay emotionally present navigating the medical system and all the diagnoses and the unknown?
I probably didn't because, quite honestly, it's overwhelming and it often felt like a nightmare. And I couldn't process the emotions at that time. I had to focus. I had to stay laser focused on just getting my kids to a good space. But I do remember crying a lot. So sometimes the emotions would overcome me, but that wasn't the time to be processing everything. I have processed my emotions along the way, through my own writing. And I think that there's a lot of different ways to process your emotions. And that's actually the first part of my framework, to be able to allow yourself to go there and feel what you need to feel in order to process the emotion, so it doesn't become, because pent up emotion, we know, will become illness in our body, and research shows that again and again. And so I would talk to friends, I would talk to my sisters. I still talk to a counselor, a therapist, which I think is super important, but I would also process my feelings through writing. And so poetry is one of the things that I was always passionate about. When my daughter had her open heart surgery and she was 4 weeks in to her healing, and my son's depression, extreme depression, was showing up for the first time at 11. And I was seeing a counselor, and the counselor told me, or asked me, "What are you doing for yourself?" And I went, "What? What do you mean, what am I doing for myself? I have no time for myself. What the heck kind of counselor are you?" And she said, "You have to find one thing for yourself. You're doing everything for your kids and everything for your family. You have to find one thing for yourself." And I used to love writing. When I was a kid, I would write all the time. But it seems that we become adults and we forget the things that we were passionate about as children, and responsibilities take over. And so I thought to myself, no, I might not have time to write long stories or novels, but I certainly have time to write poetry. And so I just started writing my poetry again. And in the morning, while I'm having my morning coffee in one hand, writing in the other, just half an hour, whatever it was, next thing you know, I had a whole poetry page on Instagram, Mindful Warrior's Way. And the next thing you know, I'm a published poet, which was a childhood dream of mine. So I poured my pain and into poetry, and it transformed it into art, and my childhood dream came true. So, there are beautiful things that can come of your story despite the challenges you might be navigating. And if I can do it, anyone can do it. Absolutely. Everybody could do this. Everybody has a gift. It doesn't have to be poetry. It could be dancing. It could be painting. It could be sports or academia. But everybody has a gift, and everyone has the ability to transform their pain through their gift. And then you're, using that energy and pouring it into something positive instead of pouring it into something negative.
Yeah, fueling the fire. I love that. I think it's so important that we learn how to play as adults. Children, if you just watch them, it's fascinating. They're so in the moment. They're so fascinated by everything. And that was part of my learning in 2025 is the removal of the expectation on what society thinks success is, and learning how to play in a fun and enjoy all the little moments and have that childlike curiosity. That's what ignites the creativity within us. And I think what you said about releasing those emotions is the most important thing that we can do for ourselves. Because so much of us, we walk around, so many of us, we walk around and we just eat everything. It's like, oh, someone's mad at us. Okay, we're gonna get angry, but we can't show anger, so we're gonna push that down or just continue pushing it down. Next thing you know it, like we're just so beyond stressed, our body's inflamed, and it's just like stuck energy. So what are some tips that you can give to the audience to remove, start releasing some emotion from the body?
Yeah, so that would be one of them, is to find yourself your gift so that you can channel your emotions in a positive way, or find a therapist or counselor to talk to. And you can also always just talk to a friend or someone that you trust, a family member, but don't keep it stuck inside. Exactly what you're saying about how it could become inflammation in our bodies. It could become it could become illness.
Yeah, manifests into like back pain, neck pain, shoulder pain, illnesses. People get sick. Like people are constantly sick. I was working with someone who had like constant cough, throat issues, and we removed a blockage from her throat area, and it was literally because she was afraid of speaking her truth from withholding it for so long. And it's like, okay, so we opened that energetically, and then suddenly her sore throat went away. I just found that so fascinating.
And the science shows it as well, because Dr. Joe Dispenza will talk about how thoughts can literally make you sick,
Yeah.
because thought alone, which is caused by thoughts which are caused by your stress response, can turn on the genetic markers for illness in your body. That's huge. That is huge.
Yeah.
Studies will show you that your stress is making you sick. So we have to start taking our health into our hands first by first, but just by changing our thoughts and changing our thinking, right?
Can I ask you this? It's a bit of a difficult question, I guess. What you just said about Joe Dispenza reminded me of basically we manifest our lives, right? Was there a point when you were going through all of this really difficult stuff with your children that you blamed yourself for it?
Never. No, I never blamed myself for it. I am a very spiritual person. I don't often talk about my spirituality on podcasts, and I'm starting to wonder why. I think I need to be more open about just that part of me and who I am. And I truly believe that they are here for a greater purpose. And all of these challenges that they're navigating is to serve us and open our eyes to something much greater. And I look at them and I think that my children are like earth angels, honest to God. And they go through so much, but the number of people that will tell me that they have actually come here to process other people's pain and other people's challenges for them. And that makes sense to me, because why so much? They're children. Why do they have to go through so much, right? And the lessons that they have taught me already, like, there's nothing more valuable than that. My son taught me unconditional love, right? Because before I had my son, like I talked about how I'm a big nerd and how I went to university, I got the A's, et cetera. So I always thought, okay, my kids will one day go to university. And then I end up with a child who's autistic with an intellectual disability who will never graduate high school, let alone go on to university, and then ends up with a mood disorder, which he can't control. And I love him so much through it all. That's unconditional love. That is love without conditions. He doesn't have to go on and graduate from high school. He doesn't have to go on to college. He does not have to go on to university for me to love him. I just love who he is.
Yeah,
I love
that's just
him.
societal bullshit. That's just conditioning. That's, society telling us we should be this certain way. I love that you said that because he doesn't have to do any of that.
Exactly. And so, what could be a greater purpose and coming to this world and teaching the rest of us unconditional love? And I feel that, and I felt that when I was teaching special needs too. And I felt that from my students. I felt that innocence and purity of their being. And that, I feel like their souls are almost elevated higher than ours in a way, because they came here. If their souls chose this life, then they came here knowing that they were going to navigate a whole lot of bullshit and a whole lot of challenges to teach the rest of us a thing or two. And we're looking at these kids thinking they're the ones that need our help. Right?
It's actually really interesting that you say that because every interaction I've had with special needs people, like special needs according to our societal definition of it, I've always been like wondrous of them. And like, it's like they have this connection to source that we don't, it's like
Oh, yes.
they say things how it is, they act authentically, with integrity. There's no pretending to be someone they're not. It's complete and utter authenticity, which is like the highest frequency you can be in this world. So that's interesting. I actually, you just opened my mind up to that.
Yeah. And then there's, this whole theory that they are exactly what you're saying, connected. To a greater degree to the divine source than we even are. And I believe
Yeah.
it. And then there's like the telepathy tapes and all that,
Yeah.
these autistic children who are psychic. And I do believe there may be a sixth sense, but that might also be why this world is so incredibly difficult for them and so challenging. Maybe their light is just too high
They're
for
so sensitive.
for this dimension. Exactly. And that's why they're
Yeah.
so extra sensitive to lights and noise and all that kind of stuff, right? So just a different way, a different spin, and a different way to look at things. So I know we kind of went off on a tangent, but
No, I think it's really important, an important tangent to go off on though, because the way the world is shifting right now, we're leaning more towards this type of understanding, this individuality, this openness to like the world being shifting and increasing its level of consciousness. I mean, that still didn't make your life easy and it still doesn't. And so let's talk about Make Stress Your Bitch. I love that title. It's amazing. What does that actually mean beyond the bold phrase? So what is your program about?
So my program is about turning stress into strength. And by using the framework that I was talking about, in order to create resilience and emotional intelligence in our life. So it is FAST is the framework to feel better fast, F being to feel and express our emotions and not let it become pent up trauma, which could create illness in our body. A and S to accept and surrender to that which we cannot change so that we can shift our energy and focus on the things that, will actually make a difference. And then T is to transform with your mindset and your gifts. So that is the framework to make stress
Yay.
your bitch.
So, for someone out there who feels really overwhelmed right now, what is the first step to start working with their stress?
I would say talk about it with someone first. So go and I also advocate for people to see a counselor or a therapist. I think we should all be. I think it's super
Agree.
therapeutic, super healing, and so that would probably be the first step. But there are so many steps, and they don't necessarily come in chronological order, if anything, right? If you just need to be calming yourself down in the moment, if you are in that flight or fight response and your amygdala is kind of out of control, because that's kind of what's happening in our brains, take deep breaths. It can do wonders. Just calm yourself, right? Because you cannot think clearly, and you cannot be making good choices if you're in that place in your brain. And so deep breaths are your friend. A lot of deep breaths.
What do you think pulled you out of those dark times? Like, I'm imagining some pretty deep, dark night of the soul type experiences that you had. And how did you manage to pull yourself out of those moments?
Like I said, I had to think about how much I loved my kids and how much they needed me. And that's the thing. I think love is also a super high frequency, and it can save you, and it saved me just thinking about my love for them. But there are a whole lot of high frequencies that you can anchor yourself with, including hope and faith. Right? You don't ever forget, you don't ever give up. Otherwise, you've subscribed to victim mentality, and it's only going to go downhill from then. So I actually I tattooed hope onto my body.
Well, that's beautiful.
Thank you, in the form of a lotus flower. I got that when my daughter was having her open heart surgery. And I also wanted to show her that just like the lotus comes out of the mud, something beautiful will come from the surgery and her heart would be fixed. And it is. So, knock on wood. But her heart is doing well.
Oh, that's amazing. I think you really touched on an important point, is that what we focus on is what we're going to get back in those frequencies. And so if we continuously have that victim mindset, that's all we're going to notice. Like the red car theory, you see one red car, you're going to see 50 red cars, and you're going to see 1,000. And no matter how difficult life gets, to be able to subscribe to that full trust and belief and faith that everything is for a greater purpose, for me, has the most power anyway.
I love that. I love
Oh.
that. You absolutely cannot subscribe to victim mentality, because that's not going to take you anywhere. And that's one of the things that I refuse to do. I'm sure a lot of people would be sitting here feeling sorry for themselves. Oh, my poor kids, they've got this. Oh, poor me, blah, blah. I refuse to do that. That is a road I will not go down. And because if I did, I couldn't afford to. I knew it would take me under. And so,
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you could give someone who is like in the middle of their hardest season some maybe like 5 tips to you start using the stress for their greatest power, can you give them some tips to use that stress in a positive way?
So I think the what I so I would I'll just repeat on some of the points that I discussed earlier. Feeling and expressing. So find somebody to talk to. It could be a counselor, it could be a friend, it could be your family member, but don't keep that stress inside. There was actually a research study done on women in bad marriages. Did you hear about this one?
No.
It's a Framingham study, and it was Dr. Gabor Maté touches on it. And there were women who were in bad marriages, and the ones who failed to simply express themselves and talk about it were 4 times more likely to die than the others. And that's the
Wow.
power. Yeah. So stress can kill you. That is the power of expressing our feelings and not allowing them to kind of be pent up inside. And then I would say learning to accept and surrender to the things that you can't change. Otherwise, you're in resistance, right? And when we're in resistance, then that's where the suffering is. Right? It's like a fist. There's no peace in a fist. If you kind of let go and you accept what's already there, there's a gift on the other side, and that's peace. And then there is transform with your mind. So don't ever allow yourself to become a victim, right? There are people, and that's one of the things that people are able to do when they're in these horrible situations, but they rise above it, is that they never ever subscribe to victim mentality. People like Viktor Frankl in concentration camps, he would just think about how much he loved his wife, right?
Right.
And that brought him out of it. So he wasn't sitting there feeling sorry for himself, even though it was the worst nightmare ever. So if people can do this in nightmare situations, then we can certainly do this with our everyday stressors.
Mind, yeah.
So that would be four. And then the fifth one would be to pour yourself into your gift. Find the thing that you love to do when you were a child. And use that. And I like the way you had put it, to pour, what you had said, fuel the fire, right? With your emotions. Yeah, I'm going to use that from now on.
I love that. That is, those are such great tips. Thank you so much, Michelle. Where can people find you if they're looking to get more information about what you do and people who want to start using stress as their bitch?
Yeah, of course. You could find me on Mindful Warrior's Way at Kajabi. You could also find me on Instagram at Mindful Warrior's Way. And I also have a Mothers of Mental Health account on Mindful Warrior's Way. Or sorry, on Instagram. Yeah.
Thank you so much. We'll make sure those are in the show notes. You know, Michelle, one of my favorite things to do when no one is watching, actually, I don't really give a shit if people are watching. I love to just dance. I just turn music on and I like close my eyes and I'm like pretend I'm an animal, a bird, or a cat, or whatever I feel like in that moment. And it gets me going. That's actually a secret that I do before I record shows is I step behind the set and I just like let it all out and then I just feel so good. It's like a double shot of espresso. It's like so good. It
Amazing.
makes me feel like a kid. It makes me feel primal in that primal state and it just calms the noise. So it's beautiful.
I love it. I know your secret now.
Yeah, don't tell anyone.
If we won't, we'll keep it our secret.
Yeah, we won't. The 1.3 million people that are listening won't hear about it. So, Michelle, before we go, what does resilience look like for you now? Like, how are you turning all of this into power? What does life look like? And give us an update on how your kids are doing.
Okay, well, we're still going through it. So, like I've said, my son, was admitted in August for a kidney injury. So now we're waiting for another hospitalization so they could figure out his mental health meds. So we're just kind of like riding the roller coaster, right? Accepting that life comes in waves. It's not going to be happy times all the time. But despite that fact, and it's going to sound cheesy now, but Despite the Darkness, There's Always Stars. And I just had another book come out. Again, Childhood Dream. And it's my story of resilience has come out in a series called Start Over with Marco Robinson. Out in the States now. I unfortunately haven't been able to get a copy yet because I am in Canada. So I'm waiting to get a
Me
copy.
too. I'm waiting for that too.
But this in the States you can order it. So yeah, that's kind of we're just riding the waves, but enjoying the stars when
Yeah.
they come.
Michelle, thank you so much for this beautiful conversation. You know, when I imagine what you're saying, I imagine you as this like Care Bear, just killing everything with love, every negative emotion that comes your way. You're just literally killing it with love. And I truly believe that when we focus on those high frequencies, the low frequencies can't stick to that. It's like a moth to a flame, you know, like eventually the moth is going to die because of the light, because it's going to burn them, right? So if we can just stay up here no matter what, it'll help us survive.
That's what I try to do.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here. It's such a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and to our audience, please do not forget to like and subscribe. And if you are going through something that is really, really stressful, listen to what Michelle said. Use the tips from this podcast and start to prioritize yourself and to use the stress and turn it into your bitch. I'm going to use that from now on. Take care, everyone.